Blog Talk Radio.
Erev, Erev, Erev Tov. Good evening, Erev Tov. Yes, I. Shalom, Havarim, Shalom. I am Yadon. Yadon, a.k.a. Ras Hayadonis. Tafari, L-O-J. Aryeh Mi Yehuda, the Line of Judah Society, right here, and welcome to the podcast, also live stream on Rastafari Israelites. So much things to say right now. So here we are, this Torah reading and feeding 38th sabbatical study for this Shabbat Shalom. Korah, like to reason, who was Korah? What was this rebellion, all these rebellions in the wilderness as the people will be trotting from the dirty, you know, from the duddy, you know, up and out of Mitzrayim to, we say, Zion, to the promised land. But there's all these rebellions in the wilderness. And what can we learn, since Scripture says that, you know, the Scripture, this admonition here was written for our, like, correction, our instruction, our admonition. What can we learn right here? So here on the end and the eye, right here behind the scenes, right here, you know, sometimes the technology is working right and accurate. Sometimes I think most ones and ones know how the technology, you know, is sometimes. So we're just queuing up some things right here, getting some of the boards clear and just opening up the Tuesday podcast here. Here we are at the third day of the Shavua, the third day of the week. You know, that's one thing, some of the basics, the milk of the word. What's the milk? But we can get to the solid food. We just need that milk so our teeth, you know, can grow, the bones, the structure. So first day is what the world, the Gentiles, call the Sunday, right? We as Hebrews and the ancient peoples, we have this in the Royal Amharic as well of the Israelites of Ethiopia. They call the first day Ehud. Ehud from the Ahad, which means the first day. So it makes Monday the second day. And here for the T to T, for the Testify Tuesday, here we are at the third day. So here on the ear and in the eye, let's ride up.
I'm going to testify.
Yes, I testify. So here, also another basic, like the milk of the word here in the Torah reading and feedings here, we pick up with this 38th sabbatical study. So here we're in the fourth book of Moses, right, studying, not just the, like, verses Israelites. You know, you got some verses, you know, some verses Christians, some verses. They'll throw a verse at you, you know, and then kind of like reason with you, you know, for better or for worse. But you just hear the verse and their take on the verse. But here we're studying in the context, right, the real context of the scripts, right, study to shew ourselves approved. So here we're in Numbers, a.k.a. Bamidbar. Let's just reason here a little bit at the outset because it's good for us in these 7 days. You know, we have a Torah reading and feeding a portion in the sequence of the sabbatical studies. So here, coming up for this Shabbat Strong, when we're coming up to fulfill here in the Shavua. So I say Shavua, brothers and sisters, Shavua, right, in the Hebrew. Modern Hebrew, they say Shavua, and modern Hebrew. The ancient pointing is Shavua, right? But we do encourage ones to master even the modern Hebrew. You know, master that, just like we're speaking English, right? So we become the masters of that. So here we have the Shavua is the 7 days, right? So we have this Shabbat for this 7 days. You call this the Shabbat or the Shavua, the week, the strong. Yes, I. The week, the strong of Korah, because of the Torah reading and feeding. Here we pick up Numbers. So here we're picking up Numbers in this Shavua, picking up Numbers chapter 16. Verse 1 to chapter 18, verse 32. All right, now we went over a synopsis, a basic overview, and it's important to go over the overview because there's a lot that's going on here. But even this 38th sabbatical study, it is in the continuity. So sometimes for continuity's sake, you know, we have the kind of link, you know, link and meditate and think on, okay, what was the previous? Where did it, you know, end off from the previous? So in the last sabbatical strong for Shelah, the previous, it had told the narrative of the tragedy, the tragic story about the, quote, sin of the 10 spies. So who were the 10 spies? What does it mean, Chabarim, we talk about the 10 spies? One should already understand, well, these were the 10, right, of the 12 that brought back the evil report, right, concerning the land, the Canaan, the Canaan land, the Afro-Canaanite land, that discouraged the children of Israel. Now, we make a likeness of some of the camps, the one Westerners, you know, one West, ICBK, others, for what they have said over the years concerning Africa and, you know, some of the overgeneralizations. But we also apply this right here in Har Torah and the scripture, even to I and I, right? We, the black people of the world, and especially vis-a-vis the Ethiopian, right? Are you not as the children of the Ethiopians, the Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated, and also in particular, right, to the elect, I and I have a new name, the precious name, I and I, Rastafari. This is what
I'm going to testify.
So in the previous Shabbat Shalach, right, we had a tragedy there, right? They're on their way. They're on their way. Right? They're on their way. They already did the pedigree. You know the pedigree, right? You know about the one Westerner is the Israelite chart. What you think about that? You're going to read in some more on the Israelite chart, right? So, that the one West, ISUPK, the other, you know, Israelites, they put forth this particular chart. Many people say it's fake, it's false, it's not right. But I like to reason on, well, what is right? Take a different, you know, a good eye approach. What is right about the 12 tribes chart? Right. But let's just put that right there. The reason why I mention it is because in this fourth book of Moshe in Numbers chapter 1, verse 18, right, this is the particular verse that they point to when ones will question, well, I'm black, you know, my people coming up from plantation and this experience of 400 years. Am I Israelite? And they might point to that chart and then they'll bring out the verse from Numbers chapter 1, verse 18. But there's a context they miss. There's a context they miss concerning, right, what is that saying, right? Yes, those who could trace their pedigree from the 12 patriarchs, the 12 sons, the Bnei Yaakov, the sons of Jacob, a.k.a. the Bnei Yisrael, yes, they are Israelites, but why is that count being counted? Why is that census being taken? For what purpose? And who are they? And how does that connect with those who later on would slander the Afro-Canaanite land, as many ones have slandered even the Africa land, you know, being Israelites and Africans and, you know, all of them are Hamites. But then we get to find out, well, the continent was kind of forced to name Africa, you know, vis-a-vis the Belgium Conference, as the maps clearly show, right? We have Ethiopia, right? We have Upper Ethiopia, Lower Ethiopia. Even one map has said Negro Land, right? But then later on, they impose that particular name, Africa, right? And then later on, right, the white Anglo-Saxon Protestants, right, in their perversion of Christianity, they say, well, you see Noah? He has three sons, right? Right? They say Ham, Shem, and Japheth. I say, no. The scripture says Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Just keep it right and accurate. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. But then they say, well, yeah, that right. But one was white and one was black and one was nondescript. Or one was white, one was black, and one was maybe yellow or Asian. Or, you know, it's confusion. And many people believe, right, those of us who ascribe, you know, say truth, right, to the true contents of the scripture, they'll say, oh, so you believe one was one man and one woman had one black baby, one white baby, and one kind of nondescript baby. So see, we have to weed off of that right there, you know, because study to shew ourselves approved. But it's that verse in Numbers chapter 1, verse 18. Note that particular verse there, right, because they use that verse, right, to try to say, well, you are what your father is. And that doctrine is not scriptural. Right? That doctrine is not scriptural. Even in the 10 words, look at the 10 words. It says that he will visit the iniquity of the fathers, right, to the sons. And KJV says children. The Hebrew says banim, to the sons, right, of the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. So if the fathers are committing akari, this shows that they hate him, whether consciously or unconsciously. And if the children do the same akari, well, then they prove they're like their fathers, right? But then, right, so the scripture does show that example. But then over here, even this Torah reading and feeding for Shabbat Korah, what about Korah? What about Korah, right? I guess the sons of Korah were just like their father, right? If that doctrine that many of the one Westerners, one West Israelites, you know, at this point we say they ain't right, you know, you're not what your father is. And if that's true, and they say, I'm an Israelite, I am what my father is, and you see this 12-tribe chart right here, well, then I have a question. So your father was an Israelite. Your father acknowledged that he was an Israelite, and he taught you to be an Israelite. Or is your father, is the father like what the son is? You see, by making this doctrine and trying to superimpose this doctrine in an easy-peasy way, well, you are what your father is, but then we can show you countless examples, right, within the scriptures. And this is a very good example right here in this 38th sabbatical study for this Shabbat Strong concerning Korah, right, because we have the sons of Korah. You know, as we study the daily Psalms and the Midrash and go into the studies of the Psalms, we get to recognize that in the superscription, right, to many of the Psalms, many key and crucial Psalms, they are subscribed in Hebrew, it's the first verse, but it's a superscription of the title in the KJV, not included in the King James Version as a verse, but in the Hebrew, included as the very first verse, we find Psalms, right, sons of Korah. Now, we know that Korah and the 150 men, right, that wanted to offer incense and kind of hijacked the leadership and the high priestship of Yisrael, they went up against Moshe. Look at their numbers. Some judge ones by numbers and say, well, look at those Israelites there. They got a lot of numbers. Well, yes, that is good for them in righteousness. You hear? That is good for them in righteousness. It's bad for them if it's not in righteousness, because we have 250 men, right, with Korah, Datan, and Abiram, right? And the scripture says that the earth opened up. First, the fire burned these over there. Then the earth opened up and swallowed up the whole camp. You know, it says that all that pertaineth to them. So if Korah, the patriarch, was swallowed up, he was the ringleader, and Datan and Abiram, they was his co-conspirators, and the 250 Israelites, 50 Israelites that wanted to offer incense. You know, there's a message here, you know, because remember the double-edged sword, right? If it's right, it cuts when it goes in, it cuts when it comes out. So it's not just to the One West Israelites and ISUPK. They're wrong on that right there. But then there's a question here that comes up to I and I as Rastafari and some things that we have said. Well, if the herb, right? We said the herb is the incense, right? And the incense is a holy thing. Some of that reasoning sounds a lot like those who were in rebellion against the rightful authority of Moshe, of Moses, and Aharon, and Aaron, the Moshiach, the Messiah. We could say the Hebrew Christ, right, in the camp. So we're going to reason on these things right here, because study to shew ourselves approved, as I and I, Godfather and King of King, Kenemahada Selassie said to I and I, and we, for my part, I glory in the Bible. So let's study the scripts. The previous, we had the 10 spies. Right, and the divine decree that generation, the generation of the Israelites that were rescued from Egypt, from Mitzrayim, from Komet or Kemet, if you please, from Kemet, they were sentenced to die while in the exile in the Midbar, while they was in the exile in the wilderness, in the wilderness. Does this sound anywhat familiar? Right, when we look at the fact that they were lands given to us as footholds of the promised land, like Shashimani, for more than 40 years. But we see one generation gone, and we still, the children are still wandering here in the wilderness of North America. So what has gone wrong? I get to hear one say, oh, there was 12 pioneer settlers, right, for on the Shashimani land grant. That is interesting, right? Really, because there was 12 spies that went into the land. Right? Then some say, well, there was a 10 that outnumbered the 2. That's interesting, because right here as well, we have 10, the 10 spies that outnumber the 2. But the 10 spies have brought back an evil report that discouraged the people from going forward and going into the land. So now we look at it now. Many, the most of us are still here in this North Country and in the wilderness of the Americas and the Caribbean. So we can learn a lot about sustainable repatriation. Everybody talk about repatriation is a must. The teaching of his majesty, Allah Salah, he's listening to the king, this and that and the next thing. But it's the basic milk, right? You know, it's the milk. It's like, you know, milk is good, the milk of the word, right? Even that mother's milk, the milk of HaTorah, the basics, right? So that our bones and our structure can grow, our teeth can grow. Can you imagine? You grow up, but your bones are still soft, right? You know, your teeth are not really strong, right? You know what I'm saying? So we have to deal with the milk of the word. Let's deal with some milk of the word, some basic teaching of the word. So that brings us here from the previous tragedy and kind of going astray. It's almost like one stumbling caused a falling, caused another stumbling. You know, it's like in those movies where you see in those movies sometimes. And it's really tragic if you see it in real life. Somebody, like, falls down the steps, you know, like, but I put it in the movie sense because sometimes you see in the movie and it looks a little bit comical, right? And somebody's falling down the steps and you think, like, okay, they just fell a little bit and it's going to stop, but they keep falling. They keep going down. It's like even when they try to so-called break their fall, the way they try to break their fall contributes to them falling more. This is what we see happening here in the wilderness with the Israelites, that generation that he brought out, of Mitzrayim, out of Egypt, out of the Egypta, Hetkapita, right, out of Mitzrayim, out of Komets, Maitawi. What's the real name? Come on now. I mean, even the Egyptian had many names. We call it Mitzrayim and Kemet. That generation he brought out of Egypt, he was not pleased with them. For them to enter in, right? For them to enter in into the promised land. In fact, he wants to destroy them for one main reason we get in the previous Shalach. One main reason that resonates with us today and many of our Israelite brethren and many of the camps, this is the One West camps, that slandering, right, of the land. You know, oh, Africa, it's not about Africa. But notice, they'll point to Numbers chapter 1, verse 18. You put that into the context of the script. Those are the ones who could trace their lineage, right, to the 12 patriarchs. Therefore, they both had a right and a responsibility. The responsibility was to fight. Thus, the numbering we get for the army, for the host that would have to go into the land, right, to drive out the previous occupants. That's the whole reason for the numbering. That's the whole reason for seeing, well, who's who pedigree, right? Who is your father? Because Jah had promised it, right, the land, right, to that seed, and particularly to the faithful seed, right, of the Hebrew Trinity, the Hebrew patriarchal Trinity, triunity of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. So now it comes down to Jacob, Yisrael. Now it comes down to his 12 sons. Now it comes down to descendants who could prove the descendancy to those 12 sons. They would have the duty and responsibility to be the strike force in the land, the Afro-Canaanite land, right, to capture the land, to drive out the previous occupants, basically to do the work of inheritance, according to the Hebrew Bible, the Hebrew scripture, in the land of Canaan. This is why it lists them and it says their pedigree, because only those Israelites that could trace their descendancy, right, to the 12 patriarchs would have land title. That's the reason why we have Numbers chapter 1, verse 18. It wasn't to say who's an Israelite. They say that, but it's not to say who's an Israelite, because then we'll point out the scripture where it says one Lord to the homeborn and to the stranger, right, that sojourns with you. Let me ask you a question. You remember David, King David? You remember David's worst sin, worst crime, right, the adultery and the murder? Mm-hmm. The adultery of Bathsheba and the murder of her husband Uriah. Let me ask you a question. Was Uriah an Israelite? ISUBK, One West, Brother Captain Azania. He might not be listening right now, but hopefully, you know, he can check this out, or those who can share it. Captain Tazai, was Uriah an Israelite? Was Bathsheba an Israelite? We can point to a lot of ones who were Israelites. They were Israelites in that sense of strangers who sojourn with them. This is like when you go to a country, you're not really originally from there. Like people come to America, right? They may not have been born here, don't have deep roots here, but they get what they call it again, nationalized, right? They basically, you know, pledge allegiance. You know, that's what it says. One law, one Torah shall be to the homie, right, the homeborn, and to the stranger that sojourns, right, that dwells with you. Not the other strangers, but the strangers that, it's like when one comes to America, right, and they want to become a citizen, and they learn all about America and whatever qualification rules, whatever, and they pledge allegiance, right? Their people didn't come from England on the Mayflower or whatnot like that and got a charter from England to set up a colony over here. You know what I mean? That's why when you look at America, who were the ones that were in charge in America? It was, they say, the rich landholding, slave-owning white men, right? That's what they say, right? And those particular rich white men who had wealth, who had position, who owned land, they also were the ones who could vote because they were considered to be those who were descended from the original patriarchs, right? So that is the same it's a very ancient context to go beyond the white man, you know what I mean, so to speak. But he picked up on those ancient precepts and put them to effect, you know, sometimes for good, but many times for worse. I'm just giving you that example there so that one can understand what it means when it says in Numbers chapter 1, verse 18, concerning the pedigree, right? Those Israelites, yes, they had to trace their descent and prove that they were descended from the patriarchs, but they also had to fight and risk their lives and go in and drive out the previous occupants and being successful, right? Being successful in that. Remember, faith without works is dead. So they had faith, right, that Jah had given them this promised land. Now they had to put in the work. So in Numbers chapter 1, verse 18, it is designating, you have to read the whole chapter. I'd like to zoom into the 18th verse. Because you read the whole chapter of Numbers chapter 1, it says, all of those 20 years and above who are able to go to war. So let me ask you a question. An Israelite that is not 20 years and above, or say he is 20 years and above, but he's not able to go to war, all right? Because, I mean, all Israelites were able to go to war. Does he lose his Israelite status? He might lose, right, land-owning rights. See, the title to the land was given to Abraham and passed to Yitzhak and then to Yaakov and then to Yaakov called Yisrael, Yasher Allah, to the 12 sons and through those 12 sons to their descendants. And so in Numbers chapter 1, it is saying, well, who are these descendants of those? All of those 20 years and above who are able to go to war, you're going to be a part of the army. You're going to have to go in and drive out the Canaanites, the Afro-Canaanites. This is the whole context of it. And in being successful, you will have title to the land. In other words, in the land of Israel, according to the covenant, right? The land of Israel, according to the covenant, the only ones, according to Jah's covenant that we have in HaTorah, that have title to land, according to the covenant, right, are those who can prove their descendancy, right, from the 12 tribes of Israel. Other people could kind of like rent land, right? They could acquire land, but they could not own the land. They had no title. This is why we'll get into the details of the Torah, some aspects and areas that most Israelites don't spend much time in studying. It's going in to additional, you know, precepts and rules and regulations into what we call the nine areas of people activity, not just spirituality and definitely not spookism, you know, and not just so-called religious stuff, but also practical application, business transactions, real estate transactions, farming protocols, you know, domestic relations, many other areas. You know, we can even see some hygienic codes, you know what I mean? Dietary codes as well are being brought out. Because what we have here with the Israel in the wilderness is the birth, right, of the youngest nation, right? Ancient Kemet, ancient Mesopotamia, ancient, you know, Babylon, they way old. Yes, they are old, ancient civilization. Yes, they were nations well and long time. But so what? Sometimes the elders go off. right? Sometimes the elders, Elder Kemet and Elder, you know, Elder Mesopotamia, Elder Sumer, you know, they might have had some good things back in the days, right? So Yisrael is being birthed, the youngest, and it's right. We should glory in the fact, right, that, yeah, Kemet is well older. People say, well, Kemet is older. It's so much older, right? But then you as a younger, when you got a revelation, you want to say, well, you know, the elders need to listen to the youths. So now Yisrael, in this context of Kemet and with Assyria, is a youth, right? So see the contradiction, the cognitive dissonance right there, right? Doesn't mean that always the elders are right, but it doesn't mean that always the youths are wrong either. But here, brothers and sisters, keeping it sabbatically strong right here. Yes,
I'm going to testify.
Psalm 82.
Mizmor Pevet. Mizmor la samor la
samor la samor la samor la samor la samor la samor. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty, the mighty, the mighty, the mighty, the mighty, the mighty.
Elohim nitzav ba'adat el.
He judgeth among the gods, the gods, the gods, the gods, the gods, the gods.
Bekerev Elohim yishkot.
How long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But ye shall die like men, and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. 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 Inherit all nations.
We're making the one stop. The generation gap.
Yes, yes, yes. And we catch up on that whole Bob Marley, you know, white man, black man, Israel, not Israel. Stay tuned to the vid that we're going to, you know, hopefully upload very soon on it. But it has a lot to do with what we have here, because that doctrine, you are what your father is disproved by this Torah portion right here. This Torah portion here for Shabbat Korah, Sabbath Korah, all right? And we call this Sabbath crazy baldhead, because Korah means bald, not physically bald, but like, you know, like when wintertime comes, like no crops grow and the fields are bare, the fields are bald. So it means like cold and like baldhead, right? But not in like just a physical, the carnal minded sense, but in a true spiritual sense. But what we have here is a generation gap. Right here in this Torah reading and feeding, and also we also have here amongst I and I in the wilderness of North America and the Caribbean, also the generation gap. But Rosh Shiloh, come forward with this tune here. Don't be like this generation. Be the righteous generation. This generation, Rosh Shiloh.
Oh, oh, oh. Something about this generation, they're not like us, they love to fuss. Something about this generation, they're often dangerous. Something about this generation, their attitude stinks, they won't get far. Something about this generation, when we say peace, they say war. People often lose control for material things. They sell their souls, blinded by vanity. See their best friends as enemies, not remembering the love from His Majesty. Oh, something about this generation. They're not like us, they love to cuss. Something about this generation, all been dangerous. Something about this generation, their attitude stinks, they won't get far. Something about this generation, when we say peace, they say war. Sticky, sticky situation I see. Enemies on the rise, brutal and evil. Devil in the sky. They curse, they fight. What a terror they play. Big guns, long knives. They shed his blood every day. Something about this generation, they're not like us, they love to fuss. Something about this generation, they're often dangerous. Oh, something about this generation, their attitude thinks they won't get far. Something about this generation, when we say peace, they say war. Help your brother out and don't delay. Please help him today, for he can change from his evil ways. Oh, something about this generation, they're not like us, they love to cuss. Something about this generation, they're often dangerous. Oh, something about this generation.
What a generation. So studying the psychology of the scripts as well, we see very interesting the generation that came out, that Jah brought out of Egypt, he was not pleased to bring them in. So there definitely was some sort of a generation gap. But the youths, right, the youths who the parents said that, oh, we don't want to go into Africanite land, you know, it'll be bad for the children. Think about what happened to Finite peoples. Instead of coming out of her, we went deeper into her. But here, Rhema tunes right here. Next tune, that was Ross Shiloh right there with this generation. Here's George Allen. Be wise, my brethren. George Allen.
Brother, sure I can. Oh yes, let them talk, keep them talking. Hey, we're gonna keep them talking. Laugh when they're talking, yeah. We've got a lot more coming. Talk, keep them talking. We're gonna keep them talking. Laugh when they're talking, yeah. We've got a lot more coming. Who have ears to hear, let them hear. And who have eyes to see, let them see. No one in this world can stop me, cause I'm protected by the Almighty. Jah is with me wherever I go. Oh, I know Jah loves me so. One thing I know, and of that I'm sure, I'm gonna talk, keep them talking. We're gonna keep them talking. Laugh when they're talking, oh yes. We've got a lot more coming. Talk, keep them talking, and I know. We're gonna keep them talking. Laugh when they're talking, yeah. We've got a lot more coming. Let them say what they wanna say, what they do wanna say. Can't lead I astray, Jah is I guide, day by day. And he's I help in everywhere. Talk, keep them talking. I'm gonna keep them talking. Laugh when they're talking, yeah. We've got a lot more coming. Talk, keep them talking, oh. We're gonna keep them talking. Laugh when they're talking, yeah. We've got a lot more coming. Let them pass all the dirty remarks. If they were dogs, then they would bark. Shoot them, don't know them, gonna soon die. Just like old chap, Jah gonna put them to part. Talk, keep them talking. We're gonna keep them talking. Laugh when they're talking, yeah. We've got a lot more coming. Talk, keep them talking. We're gonna keep them talking. Laugh when they're talking, yeah. A lot more coming, yeah. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Keep them talking, yeah. Whoa, whoa, oh, oh, well. Let them talk, keep them talking. We're gonna keep them talking. Laugh when they're talking, yeah. We've got a lot more coming. Talk, keep them talking. We're gonna keep them talking. Laugh when they're talking, yeah. We've got a lot more coming. Who appears to hear, let them hear.
Talk, keep them talking. Gone, it's so great, VVV. And there's a lot of talking that's going on here in this tour, in this fourth book of Moshe. It's kind of interesting from a Hebrew perspective. We look at the word dabar, and then we have midbar. There's a relation there. Midbar is brought out as wilderness, right? The midbar, the wilderness. But then getting to the etymology, the Hebrew etymology, the link of words and ordering words or words out of order. But there's a lot of talking going on here in the wilderness. And this talk is getting them in trouble. And we kind of see it begin and picks up, I think, about two portions previous, the 36, I think the 36, right around the 36. This was the Miriam, the part with Miriam, but it's really when he started complaining, you know, as they move forward from Sinai, right, as they move forward from Sinai. And the trajectory, right, up until these points right here was basically a hop, skip, and a jump and they in the promised land. But it's their talking, right, it's their talking. Right. While Joshua and Caleb, the two that was outnumbered by the 10, right, potential pioneer settlers, you know what I mean? They had the faith of conviction that no weapon formed against Sinai shall prosper. What the man say? Jamale.
Hey, I see them come up against the chosen. sheep clothing. Let me tell them, it's that for we shall be no weapon, cause we no fear evil, no wicked man. Lightning and thunder in a Babylon, them don't know them judgment can come any second. Hey, there's no weapon we can stop at this Armageddon. So we all in Jamaica we strong, to bless up today, live to see another one. Hey, when you don't know the repercussions and you just keep on doing wrong, every day we just encounter, you're not aware of the reciprocal. Who's gonna save you from crushing on the Babylon once when it a fall? The better you give is the best you receive. Don't accept defeat, give thanks and praise this. Now them finally see it. This taboo we shall be no weapon, cause we no fear evil, no wicked man. Lightning and thunder in a Babylon, them don't know them judgment can come any second. Hey, there's no weapon we can stop at this Armageddon. So we all in Jamaica we strong, blessing up today, if to see another one, yeah.
Let's just testify on this right here. We call this the Israelites wandering here in the fourth book of Moshe, Hebrew book that's known as the Sefer Bamidbar, the book, the counting, Bar in the Midbar. Midbar, which is the Hebrew name of the book, Bamidbar, in the wilderness. It's called Numbers because the later... You say the later, the LXX and other versions, you know, bringing out that sense of the titling of the book. But from a Hebrew or a Judaic perspective, we know the book as Bamidbar. So here we're in the fourth book of Moshe, known as Numbers. And let's zoom into the Midbar. And why do we say that the Israelites are wandering in the wilderness of their wayward words, right? Not just words, but of their wayward words. Well, let's break down this right here. The H4057, right? For the disciples, take note, and we're taking note as we are reminding ones to take note right here. The H4057, right? Have your copy book, your composition, the discipleship study book, you know, H4057. So John Peter sings by the pen, you know, things that man them would never know. So we have Midbar, right? The Midbar, right? Phonetically, Midbar, the Midbar. Now the BDB definition brings out wilderness, a pasture, right? Wilderness in a sense, what kind of wilderness? A wilderness in a sense of a pasture. A wilderness in what sense? A wilderness in a sense of uninhabited land, that kind of wilderness. A wilderness in what sense? Like large tracts of land kind of wilderness. You know, like around a city, right? Or like a city or a little town. There's like, you know, the wild areas. Like that could be considered also like the wilderness, right? So the wilderness also, we can put it in a figurative sense. So here for the H-40-57, the Hebrew word known as Midbar, that translates to both the name of the fourth book of the Torah called Numbers, right, as well as wilderness, right? So we have wilderness, but the secondary entry for Midbar is mouth. Did you know? So what's the connection of wilderness and mouth? So the same word within the, we say the archaic Hebrew, Ivrit, right, that on one hand is often translated as wilderness. Also in a secondary sense, it means the mouth. The mouth in what sense? The mouth, you know, as an organ of speech, right? The mouth as an organ of speech. Now, some derive this here by going to the root in the sense of driving, right? Not driving like driving a car, but, you know, like driving, you know, like, okay, let's get to the root. H-1696, right? Take note. So the word Midbar, Hebrew word Midbar, M-I-D-B-A-R, basic Latin. That's the basic Latin. English letters are Latin, right? Cipher that. So the basic Midbar, the H-4057, it comes from the root, right, that we have in the Strong's Concordance and other concordances, the H-1696. So Midbar Hebraically comes from Dabar, right? Dabar in the ancient pointing. Modern Hebrew, they might say Davar, right? We say Dabar, right? And what does Dabar mean? BDB has Dabar. Now, remember, this as a part of speech is the verb. So Midbar is a noun that mainly refers to wilderness. But in the second of the Hebrew two truths, we have the mouth, right? Because then the word Midbar, the root of it is Dabar. And Dabar means to speak. Dabar means to declare. Dabar means to converse. Dabar means to command. Dabar, the promise, warn, to threaten. Even Dabar in the Hebrew context can even be brought out as to sing, right? The root of it is to speak, right? So the different senses of it, the Nephile sense of it, of the words, like to speak with one another, to talk, the PL sense, to speak, to promise. The Pu'al sense is like that, which is like to be spoken. The Hitpa'el sense is like kind of like to speak back and forth, right? The Hefil sense, now we have a Hefil sense of it, which means like to lead away, right? So the word to speak in the Hefil sense can mean like to lead away or to put to flight. Now, the H-1696, which is Dabar, D-A-B-A-R, ancient pointing, modern pointing is D-A-V-A-R, so modern Hebrew, Dabar, ancient pointing, Dabar. We advise the fellow Talmudim to master both. In fact, master the modern spoken, it's easiest. But here, we have the verb. Right? It's a verb. It's a primitive root here. Now, Dabar, we're now going to Strong's here. That was previous, the BDB, Brown, Shriver, Briggs. Here in Strong's definition, and you can look this up, follow it up. If you put even the keywords in your search, it will lead you to many of the interlinear Bible sites as well. Or you can download a software like we're using the Word, or there's a Word software, but we're using My Sword right here. Here we have the Strong's definition as the main, you know, basically pretty faithful and trustworthy point to reference, BDB, Brown's, Driver's, Briggs definition, firstly, and here's Strong's definition of Dabar, the H-1696 root word of Midbar, that is basically translated as wilderness. In the first sense, the secondary sense of the Midbar is a mouth, the mouth. Dabar brings out the sense here of properly to arrange. It can be used figuratively, right, of words. So dabar, the same word for speech. You know, some people say abracadabra, right? It all depends on how you point it. It can mean two different things. It depends on what your pointing is, right? Abracadabra, cadaver, cadaver. Abracadabra is like I create what I speak, or I speak. I create as I speak. Actually, in the Hebrew, it would mean, it depends on how you point it, right? Because another way of pointing it, it can mean that you destroy by speaking, right? So that abracadabra, you have to, depends on how you pronounce it. But getting to the word dabar, right? Dabar, to speak, right? Comes from the root sense of arranging. And it's used figuratively, right, like of words, like speaking words, arranging words, like how should I say this? You know, like you're thinking to say something that you have to think, well, how should I say this? And you're trying to arrange the words, that sense there. Could be like a little wilderness, huh? Now, really, but it's there in the scripts, the same dabar that means to speak, from like arrangement to speak, can be also used in the secondary sense, a destructive sense, to subdue. Right? To subdue, right? In a sense, to subdue. So we have it translated in the scripts often as answer, a point, bid, like in KJV, you may come across answer. It might be dabar as a root, to point, to bid, to command, to commune, to clear. Also to destroy, can mean to be destroy, to give, to name, to pronounce, to rehearse, to say, to speak, to be a spokesman, to subdue. Right? To talk, to teach, to tell, to think, to use, to utter, right? And also to work. This is how this word, bringing out the spirit of the word, right, in some of the better translations and some of the better areas of even KJV, where it does bring out not the direct sense of speaking, but like to pronounce, right? They cannot debar. They cannot debar. They cannot pronounce. They cannot like form their mouth. You know, to say, you know what I mean, or to speak. Now, there's also the sense of debar. Now, there's a word, pestilence. Don't want to go there, but it just shows that what happened to the Israelites in this wilderness had a lot to do with their wayward words, right, and their misarrangement of words. And as we study the words spoken here, you know, once the people start to complain after they move forward from Sinai and the first complaining comes in from the mixed multitude at the edge of the camp, then the children of Israel start complaining. Then Miriam, you know, starts her rah-rah, you know what I mean? And then we get the spies. They come back with their lies and their rah-rah. Now we're here with Korah and his rah-rah. And it's all, the key is all the speech. Right, the keys right here is all the speech. So here, just a quick kind of overview, the wilderness of words. So when we're looking at the Hebrew point of view of the Midbar or Bamidbar, let us consider the lesson here and bring out the lesson as the wilderness. It was a wilderness of wayward words. And they were wandering. You know, one said, well, how could the Israelite be lost in the wilderness? You know, when we look at some of the maps. Now, some of the maps and some of the places that they tell us are this place and that place, we have to question that as well. You know what I mean? But still, how could they be wandering and lost? They wasn't lost in the so-called wilderness. They was lost because of their wayward words. They couldn't recognize or reconcile their wayward words. Like the previous Torah reading and feeding, the previous portion, we get the judgment of Jah. He gave a judgment. He said basically that, all right, because of Moses, he's not going to destroy all of them. He was going to kill them, dead on them, and destroy them one time. But Moshe, you know, he appealed. He said, you know, what would the Kemetics think? You know, what would the Egyptians think? So one's might even, you know, develop a reason. Man, did the Kemetics, did the Egyptians save the Israelites' lives? How was that? After the Exodus, well, yeah, in a sense, maybe, because remember what Moshe said? When John said, Moses, stand back. Let me destroy this people. Now they are slandering the land. These weak-hearted. Remember, the same ones that were supposed to be counted in Numbers chapter 1, that were supposed to be the men of war, 20 years and above, able to go forth to war. Basically, they got scared, and they punked out. Right? They punked out. And Jah was like, that's enough. I'm going to destroy them. Moses, step back. I'm going to make a great nation out of you. Moses, your Midianite, your Ethiopian wife, Ethiopian Hebrew connection again. But Moses said, oh, but if you do that, then what will the Egyptians, the Mitzrayim, what will the Kemetic people think? They will think that's because, Yahweh, you didn't have the power to bring the people into the land. You know, and they will say this and say that. So that was part of Moshe's reasoning and argument that the judge of judges, right, Yahweh said, all right, so therefore 40 years for the day. So they was in the land for 40 days. They were wandering the wilderness to their dead, right, that generation. All the men, remember he says in Numbers chapter 14, all the men 20 years and above. So watch it, Israelites. Think about it. Because not just you can slander a man, but look what happened to the Israelites when they slandered the land. Not the man, but the land. So here, for this Torah reading and feeding here, we're going to share this Canaan land. Bring that Canaan land tune in. All right, this Muta Baruka, interesting. Check out the biblical verse of prophecy quotes at the end of it. Yeah.
And your old son went and knew what his younger son had done. And he said, cursed be Canaan, blessed be Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant.
Now the Israeli and the Arab man fighting for Canaan land, according to the book I read. Canaan is from Amseed. Amson got a portion of land. Now where the L is Canaan portion. Abraham had two sons in Israel. They said the Arab and Israeli. Two brothers fighting to control the land. The land. The land. The land of Canaan. Yes, Jacob, give me your right and take my cup. Check the facts and you will see. Canaan was sold into slavery. Disappeared from the pages of time because of his father's crime. Now the Israeli and the Arab man both fighting in a foreign land. The land. The land. The land of Canaan. The land. The land. The land of Canaan. A land that flowed with milk and honey, now drenched with blood and body. King's ear, king's ear. Leaders, leaders, beware, beware. Jerusalem, the city of the great king. Tears and sorrow. And now shall the mighty fall. Like a woman in labor, the land shall call. Enough, enough, you're living in time. But some things must be left behind. Fight you must for this piece of land. But remember it belongs to the son of Ham. Two brothers fighting to control the land. The land. The land. The land. Of Canaan. Now listen this, I tell you true, that the King of Kings have been shown to you, the King of Israel have been revealed, to open the book and to lose the seal. The throne of David shall ever stand, to guide and protect the sons of Ham. Two brothers fighting to control the land. The land, the land, the land of Canaan. The land, the land, the land of Canaan.
Behold,
don't know if all of them heard right there, Mudah Baruka and his Canaan line tune right there, Mudah Baruka. He quotes at the end right there, Jeremiah 23:8, but the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel, the Beit Yisrael, the Beta Israel, out of the north country and from all countries whither where I have driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. So right there we have Jeremiah 23:8, that Mudah Baruka that he quotes right there at that end of the tune right there, the Canaan line and Canaan land, interesting tune that, especially even the quote at the end of the verse, at the end of the tune, Jeremiah 23:8, which is a prophecy that's in effect right now, now, now. Hi, Yahweh, hi, Yahweh, hi, he who be, who ye be, liveth, Jehovah liveth, hi, Yahweh, who brought up and who led the seed, the race of the Beta Israel out of the north country and from all countries whither I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. Yes, yes, yes. But a good question is, yeah, where is the real land of Canaan and where was the real promised land? Yes? Yes, we're going to reason on that a little bit more, but it's interesting here as we're going through the narrative because we're picking up on a lot of points to follow up on. Now, when we're speaking about the Midbar, the wilderness, right, and how Midbar is the Hebrew word for wilderness, but it also refers to mouth, and it comes from the Hebrew root word dabar. So it's the H4057 Midbar, wilderness, which has to do with arrangement and speaking at its root, the dabar root. But we also have the Deber, right? In modern Hebrew, they'll say Dever. You might hear one say Dever, right? Well, what is Dever? Dever or Deber? Deber, not Dabar, but Deber is pestilence. See, here's why some of the ain't right Israelites have to understand that pointing is important. It's not just one or two vowels in real Hebrew. Otherwise, if you do that, you do violence to the script. And the only way you pretend you understand is because you can look at the English translation. But if you just say, okay, take one vowel or one or two vowels, and it will be unintelligible, right? Be unintelligible because that's not the way it was. So we have dabar, right? The verb, right? Dabar is the verb to speak, right? And then we have the H1698. This is also used, for example, we have in Exodus 5:3. And they said the Elohim of the Hebrews hath met with us, with I and I. Make us go, we pray thee, 3 days journey into the desert, into the Midbar. This is Exodus 5:3 we're quoting right here. And sacrifice, la Yahuwah, to Jehovah Eloheinu, our Elohim, lest he fall up on us with pestilence, with Deber, right? Deber, or with the sword. So now, when we look at the whole Exodus narrative even properly, right, we look at it properly according to what is even written, they had said that the Elohim of the Hebrews, you know, they said that Kemen on some level was like a multi- kind of like what they say, like there was religious freedom, you know, people worship all different, even the Egyptians, they had different denominations and different norms. Like I say, and no diss, but it is what it is. It reminds me of Christianity, all the different denominations. They all speak about God and Jesus and the Bible and salvation and this and that. They all speak similar words, baptism, salvation, redemption, you know, reconciliation and these terms, but they have all these different denominations, right, in different areas, you know, not to even name them, you already know who they are, but the same was so with Egypt. So in this land that it seems like all the gods were tolerated, you know what I mean, but the Hebrews now here are saying to them that, well, the Elohim of the Hebrews have met with us. So, you know, give us a, you know, a break from work, you know, like a little holiday. You know, we wanted a holiday, our own holiday. It's like we talk about holidays today. You know, they have all these other pseudo holidays. But when we want a holiday, and this was not even the whole Passover and the fake rhetoric that said, oh, the Passover celebrates the destruction of Africans. They wasn't even called Africans. The Egyptians would have spit on you. Because did they ever call themselves that? Have you found that on any monuments? Right? They didn't even want to be confused with the Ta-Nehisi. Right? They said the Ta-Nehisi, the Nessi, you know, the Nubians are the Nubians. Different ones are different ones. But still, ones could come into Egypt and become nationalized. You know, you can walk and talk and, you know, become like an Egyptian. And different ones brought their gods, their beliefs, and, you know, they basically did their thing. But the Hebrews here are asking for a vacation, not even a vacation, a holiday, 3 days. Note that when the first request, right, in this system, in that present time of Egypt, it wasn't saying that that's the way it was always, but sometimes it'd be just a bad time. You know what I mean? We look at the politics sometime over here and these Amerikakas, you know what I mean? It's Amerikaka, you know, and then sometimes we could say it was better at this time than it was at that time. You know, we talk about the 80s, NWA. You know, remember how things were back in the 80s, back in the 90s, you know, and one can look at different generations. And some recall even the so-called good old days by comparison to the days they are living, right? So we're not looking at ancient Kemet, ancient Egypt as a monolith, you know, that the Exodus just points to an event horizon where it's like let us the go, leave us alone, let us do our thing. Right? Oh, no, you want us to do your thing. We don't want to do your thing. Right? Oh, you want to throw our babies in the water. Now you're a little upset because your babies are dying. You know, it seems like this is ma'at, as they would say. But Exodus chapter 5, verse 3, it says, and they said, the Elohim of the Hebrews have met with us. Let us go, we pray the eye. 3 days journey in Exodus 5 and 3. Just 3 days. 3 days journey. 3 days. Now, think about this. If they had allowed the Hebrews, right, to go 3 days journey, the Hebrews and the Bnei Yisrael, the Israelites, to go 3 days journey into the wilderness, sacrifice to Yahweh Eloheinu, Jehovah, our power, our Elohim, right, they might not even have been the so-called Exodus, at least not like that. You know, when you keep doing stuff to people or even to a person after a while, you know, you are ratcheting up the consequences. So if we look at the narrative in Exodus 5 and 3, this is what a lot of the anti-Hebrew, anti-Bible, anti-Torah, pro-blacks, they avoid these parts here. Just looking at the narrative, they had said in Exodus 5 and 3 that the Elohim of the Hebrews have met with us, right? Just let us go 3 days. Right, 3 days. Here, bring out the Hebrew. Wayomru, Elohei, Ha, Ivrim, Nikra, Aleinu, Nikra. Nikra have met, in a sense, also have called, in that sense, have met, have called, Aleinu, have called upon us. The more Hebrew sense, like he has called upon us. Right, and they said, Wayomru, Elohei, the Elohim, Ha, Ivrim. The Elohim of the Hebrews, Ha-Ibrim, Nikra, Aleinu, has called upon us, has met us for the sense of has called upon us. Nelka, Na, Nelka, let us, Leka, Halak, Halak, let us try. Nelka, we to go, we going, right, we trotting, Na, we pray the eye. Nelka, Na, Nelka, Na. Derek, Derek, Shiloshet, let us go the way, let us go the way 3 yamim, 3 days. Shiloshet, Shiloshet, 3, Shiloshet, yamim, Shiloshet, yamim, 3 days. Bamidbar, into what? Into the what? The wilderness, into the Midbar. We're Nizbecha, and we will sacrifice. Right? We will sacrifice. Let me bring this up to the Tanakh right here. We have a couple of different versions right here. Here it has La Yahuwah Eloheinu. To he who be, we be Yahweh Eloheinu, our Elohim, our power. In Egyptian terms, we're basically saying to our nature, right? To our nature, right? To our God, right? We're Nizabecha La Yahuwah Eloheinu. Now here's the part where it brings in the consequence if we don't, to us. Right, we're saying it's a consequence, right? Just as the Egyptians know, if they believe in whatever they believe in whatever different area, they had times for their sacrifice, or their feast, their festivals, so forth and so on. And we was asking for a work break, since we already were put under heavy labor. You know what I mean? In this new economy of things, they said, "Pen less yifgaeinu, pen right less." Yifkaeinu, yifkaeinu, yifkaeinu right here is lest he paga, right? Lest he encounter I and I, ba deber. So here we have the deber on the modern Hebrew sense, the dever, ba deber, not dabar to speak, but ba deber, or the hareb. Hareb is the sword. Lest he meet us, right? Lest he meet us, he encounter us with the deber. Now, what's a deber? Remember, deber also comes from the same root as midbar, as wilderness. And the deber, here, according to the BDB, Brown's Drivers Briggs definition, has, in the first instance, is the pestilence. The plague is the deber. The dever, right? The dever, modern Hebrew, dever. The dever is pestilence, plague. Secondarily, it is moraine. And often moraine demonstrated itself like as cattle disease, right? You know, they had a couple of years ago, and it still is affecting the cattle for the debtors, meat eaters, you know, foot and mouth disease, you know, where they were feeding the cattle and the animals, the other dead cattle and animals. So they turned the cattle and the animals into, with the foot and mouth disease, they turned them into like, kind of like cannibals in a sense. They were eating their own dead relatives. And this is why we have to get back to land and farm, because can we really trust them? Should we really trust them? Right? So the sense of Deber, which is the H1698, the H1698. So he gave me some key words, and the great thing about this, you can just put these words, put H1698 all as one, no space between the H and 1698, put it as one word in your search, and it should bring this up. Now, Deber has a sense of destroying. It's a noun masculine. So Strong's brings out the sense of destroying, that which would destroy. So it's interesting here that this kind of a plague here is also from the same word as the word to speak, and the word for wilderness, right, also is from the same sense. This is why we call this here for the Israelites wandering in the wilderness of wayward words, because the common denominator that we find throughout these past three Torah readings and feedings here in the fourth book, the book of Numbers by Midbar in the wilderness, is the inappropriate use of word, and then the consequences for the inappropriate use of words, right? And we as so-called black people, you know, one time we said like word is bond and word up, you know, and we check ones on the word. You know what I mean? The word in the beginning was the word. So here for the wandering sheep. Hopefully we'll find Yahweh, truth, and life for the King of Kings Christ. Nikki Silk, right here. Wandering sheep.
Love John, listen up. John! It's thy life and thy salvation. So shall I fear no one. Once there was the wandering sheep. Roaming get to sleep with no place to sleep. And a judge I know now. Rastafari, rise again. Once there was a lost soul with no place to shelter from the cold. And a judge I know now. Rastafari, rise again. Today Today you're up, tomorrow the sinking sand. Today you're up, tomorrow the sinking sand. So never kick us off for a while in doubt. Keep human helping and proper man. Once there was a wandering sheep, roaming get to sleep with no place to sleep. And a judge I know now, Rastafari rise again. Once there was a lost soul with no place to shelter from the cold. And a judge I know now, Rastafari rise again. Listen, Jamaica, of all my foolery, and I feel I've got to learn. Kindly this raindrop of which I confirm. Once there was a wandering sheep, roaming get to sleep with no place to sleep. And a judge I know now, Rastafari rise again. Once there was a lost soul with no place to shelter from the cold. And a judge I know now, Rastafari rise again. Now I'm up and riding, riding in tranquility, gain my stability from the Almighty. Listen, once there was a wandering sheep, roaming get to see you, no place to see. Judge I know now, Rastafari rise again. Once there was a lost soul with no place to shelter from the cold. And the judge I know now, Rastafari rise again. Today you're up, tomorrow the sinking sand. Today you're up, tomorrow the sinking sand. So never kick up for a while it's down. Give to my husband and the scatter plan. Brother man. Oh, oh, yeah, yeah. Roaming get to sleep with no place to sleep. When I judge I know now, Rastafari rise again. Once there was a lost soul with no place to shelter from the cold. And I judge I know now, Rastafari rise again. Jamaica, judge of all my fooling, and I've been, I've got to learn. My native raindrop of which I confirm. Once there was a wandering sheep, roaming get to sleep with no place to sleep. When a judge I know now, Rastafari rise again. Once there was a lost soul with no place to shelter from the cold. When a judge I know now, Rastafari rise again.
Yes, rise, 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 rise. So we get one generation that Jah brought out, but he wasn't pleased with them. Another key thing that he says that's interesting, he says from the previous Torah reading and feeding, he says that they have tested me, right, these 10 times. So let's look over what are the 10 times. He says they have tested me these 10 times. And the spies that told the lies on the land, he said they slandered the land, and that was just enough right there. He's going to destroy them. Like I said, it was interesting when reading over the narrative, Moshe and his going to appeal for the Israelites, he says to Jehovah, he says, what will the Kemetic think? What will the Egyptians think? They will think that is something wrong with you. You're not able to bring them in. So that's why I say, did the Kemetics, you know, in a roundabout way, or the Egyptians kind of like, you know, help to save the Israelites on a particular level, one could read that into it, seeing that Moshe did mention they're in the wilderness now, but he says that the Egyptians, the Mitzrayim, will get to see or hear about this, and they will blame it on you, right? Not on this people, right, but on you. Right, but here, let's go to some basic questions, go over the narrative again. It's just wildness that's going on. And though Numbers is not in a chronological order, right, it does give these highlights, these events that have happened, right, over this 38-year period of time. right? Because we're now going over from the Torah reading and feeding to reading and feeding from the portion, and this 38th sabbatical study as we pick up here with Numbers chapter 16 to verse 18:32 to chapter 18 verse 32, we're getting now the Korah rebellion. I think the Korah rebellion is really the serious one of them right here. And it also brings out another point that we've been reasoning on. Are you what your father is? Because what about Korah? What about Korah? And what about the sons of Korah? Because when we read the narrative, one might think, well, Korah, since he's the great patriarch here, he died. You know what I mean? He died in this, right? The ground opening up, right? Swallowing them up alive. And it's a whole other kind of, we could say, more on the esoteric or the metaphysical level of that, you know, where they went into the underworld. But we'll deal with that another time. Deal with some of the milk. Let's deal with some of the milk of the word right here. Let's deal with the name Korah, right? Since this is Shabbat Korah, Korah. Right, what is Korah? What does Korah mean? Now, in the KJV, they spell it for K, but actually in the Hebrew, it's spelled for Q. So it'll be Korah, 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 the Korah. So here, let's go to Korah, and what does the name mean? And why do we call this the crazy ball head? Right? And also, let's get a true definition of ball head. Right? Because some might think when we say ball head, we're just talking like carnal, like just somebody, you know, has a physical ball head. You know what I mean? Even some ones and ones that say Rastafari, they might just think it just means just a lock on that outer level. But there's even a higher level to the application. And Korah gives us the opportunity to unpack that. So we call this the cold as ice, crazy ball head, right? Cold as ice, crazy ball head. So let's look up Korah right here, Metaphysical Bible Dictionary. We have Korah. So if you are what your father is, the sons of Korah, yes, they are descended from Korah, but they were not like their father, because they also, right, have that experience of coming out, but they were of the next generation, right? So we have Korah here from the Hebrew Korah, 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 right, means bald. Korah means smooth, crystal. Clear, ice, cold. Korah means bald-headed. Korah means without horns. Now, this is bringing out the basics here, the milk of the word here into the English. So how can this one word in Hebrew have all these meanings or applications in translation? How can that be so? Well, first of all, Korah. Here we have the H7141. H7141. All right. These are some of the codes right here for the basics, the milk of the word Korah. We're talking about Korah, right? So Korah must have some meaning in Hebrew. And as we get the meaning in Hebrew and we go over even the English narrative, we will get more of a, what do you call it, from the 2D to more of the 3D, you know, and the HD, right, the Hebrew definition, the high definition, more detail. So Korah means ball, right? He was a son of Izhar, right, grandson of Kohath. He was a great-grandson of Lewi, of Levi, and he was a leader of the rebellion of the Israelites against Moshe and Aharon. While in the Midbar, while in the wilderness, while in the wilderness of wayward words, he was punished and he died by, some interpret this as an earthquake, the earth opening her mouth and swallowing them up, and flames of fire. So the two punishments here was buried by the earth, the earthquake, and the flames of fire. Secondarily, we have another Korah. Right, another one named Korah. He was the third son of Esau, by a holy Bama and one of the dukes of Edom. Thirdly, we have another Korah. He was a son of Eliphaz. Every time I come across that name, Chavarim, Eliphaz, you know what Eli? Eli, right, my power, my El, my Chayil, my power, and Paz or Faz, like Pazaz. Pazaz, a Hebrew word for like bling bling, We say bling bling, pizzazz would be like bling bling. So Eliphaz can be interpreted as my God is bling bling, or my God is gold, right? But this was this other Korah, right? He was the son of Eliphaz by Ada, Duke of Edom, of Edom. And he was nephew, right? He was a nephew also of one of the sons of Hebron, of one of the sons of Hebron. Just bringing out the basics. So what do we have here? We have Korah, right, as the name of two Edomites and three Israelites. Korah, so this sense of bald, right, as the name of two Edomites and three Israelites, right? As we mentioned, the son of Esau. We have a Korah, the son of Esau, in Genesis chapter 36, verse 14 and 16. We have a Korah, the son of Izhar, descended from Levi. That's the Korah right here, through Kohath. Now think about Korah had privilege too. He was a Levite. So he has the honor and the privilege, right, of the sanctuary, right, of taking care of the sanctuary. And also when the sanctuary is in movement, in motion, he is one of the bearers, right, since he come from the clan of Kohath, right, to carry the Ark of the Covenant. To carry the Ark of the Covenant. He already was an influential man, a man of wealth. And, of course, we can see how was it that he, right, along with Datan and Abiram and 250 men could even think to do that. But we break it down and build it and say, well, you know what? He was the firstborn. He was the firstborn son. So much of his argument, no doubt, was based on that. And he thought that Moses and Aaron was taking on too much. And he even says that, well, all the people are Kedoshim, all the people are holy, and y'all take too much on yourself. And he even questioned whether he himself should be the high priest, right, the Kohen Gadol. So this was really a coup, abortus, but it was an attempted coup. So this Korah, right, was one of those who rebelled against the leadership of Moshe, right, and the high priesthood office. We could say the Messiah, because Aaron as a high priest was like the Hebrew Christ, Christ in the Hebrew sense of the anointed. And his sons, the Kohanim, were the anointed ones. Right? So we can tell what kind of thing he probably did. Look at them. There's Aaron and there is his two sons. Remember the other two sons got burnt up, right? And so he got 250 men on his side, right, to go along with him. But he was destroyed by the earth opening right beneath him and swallowing him up in Numbers chapter 6, according to the script. Now, here's what's interesting. When you read it, it would sound like, well, Korah and his everybody was gone. But then we hear about the sons of Korah, right? So the sons of Korah definitely were not like their father, right? They were not like their father. Remember what it says in the 10 words, the 10 commandments? He will visit the iniquity of the fathers, right, upon the sons, right, or the children, but in the Hebrew it's upon the sons to the third and the fourth generation of them that hate, right, that hate me. Right, so it's definite that Korah, aside from his words and his rhetoric, he hated Jehovah. He hated what was ordained and what was appointed. And he thought right now, seeing how the people were complaining, right? Remember the mixed multitude complained, the children of Israel complained because the mixed multitude complained, and then later on we have Miriam complaining because of Moses, Kushawit, his Kushite Ethiopian wife, and then we have the spies go in and they come back, the 10 of them come back with lies, and the people want to go back to Mitzrayim and everything. And now here we have Korah must have said, you know, this was my opportunity. The people are not satisfied with the leadership of Moses and Aaron. This is my opportunity. So now the metaphysical of the name Korah. Let's go into the metaphysical. But first, before we go there, let's just break down the Hebrew a little bit more. So Korah means ice, right? It comes from Karah. The name Korah comes from Korach. Korach comes from the Hebrew Korach. Now, Korach is a noun. Korach is the verb. And the verb, according to the BDB, here we have the H7139, it means to be bald, to make bald. In the Kyle sense of the verb is to make bald, to make a baldness. Now, there's a Nephile sense of it, in the sense of like one making a self bald, right? The Hefil sense brings that out. But here's where the connection comes in with Korah and ice. Because on one hand, it has the meaning of ice. And you say, well, how can it be ice and bald, like a bald head? Because you're just looking at the physical, like a somebody who doesn't have hair, they're physically bald-headed. But that's not the Hebrew sense of it. The Hebrew sense is, what does ice do, right? What does the cold weather do to the crops? In other words, when you have crops, right, you know what I mean? It's like the fields are clothed. It's like the fields almost like have, in a sense, almost like here, like the wool of the sheep and everything. But when wintertime comes, everything dies. For example, you see leaves. You ever see leaves on a tree, right? Like in summertime, the leaves are out and all the, even the fruit and everything is growing. But then when winter comes in, everything falls off. It's bare. That's a sense of baldness. It's fruitless, right? So it has that sense of bald in the sense of ice, in the sense of fruitlessness. So the metaphy cycle here is that Korach refers to the coldness and the unproductiveness, right, of life and good because of one not being willing to be guided in that true Jah love faculty. You see, Korach, he was descended from Levi. Levi. Why is this important? Well, what does Levi, what does Levi mean? So Levi is the priest. Yeah, but what does Levi mean? Levi means joining. Levi, right? Levi means joining. But it also signifies a sense of joining in the sense of the love faculty, right? The love faculty joining in the individual consciousness, right? By the Torah. The Torah, the direction, instructions of Elohim. Elohim already gave his direction instructions. But obviously, you know, Korah thought he could speak for Elohim as well. Now, well, there's an Asir. There's an Asir, A-S-S-I-R, Asir. He was a son of Korach. Sounds a lot like Asir or Sar, Asir. He was a son of Korach. Now, we have the Korah, right? The Korah that was the son of Esau. The Korah that was the son of Esau. What does he denote, right? The coldness, the crystallization, you know, when it gets crystal and it's cold, this is where ice comes from, right? And the barrenness, right? So when it's cold, right, the fields become barren. When the weather changes, it becomes barren, bare, bald, right? So we have son of Esau, Korah, the coldness, crystallization, creating ice, and the barrenness, the sense of bald of consciousness. So the bald-headed ones in the spirit and the truth, right, of I and I Rastafari Israelites, according to Josh Script and the Hebrew, as His Majesty says, the Mesodotawi Kwankwa, the foundational language, is just this, that barrenness of consciousness, right, that result from the dominance of the mind of the flesh, right? Or as I and I Rastafari say, the carnal mind, I and I not want no carnal mind. So the dominance of the carnal mind, this is, represents the Esau, the Esau, right? In the spiritual warfare, the Esau in the individual, right? In the indivisible dual. So you might have one who might be flesh and blood Israelite, right? By flesh and blood, but they might be under the dominance of the mind of the flesh. Therefore, that is Esau, Esau, right? That's what it says, you know, but not all who are of Israel are Israel, speaking about spiritually, right? And even here, metaphysically. But now we have the Korahites, right? Those who are descended from Korah. In Numbers chapter 26, verse 58, the Korahites. We also have the Korahites, right? Korahites. K-O-R-H-I-T-E-S, another spelling of it, in Exodus chapter 6, verse 24, right? Now, this from the Hebrew, right, means of or belonging to Korah. Now, the Levites that were descendant, right, descended from Korah, right, who was himself the one of this board of Ku right here, he was a great-grandson of Lewi, of Levi, according to Exodus chapter 6, verse 24. So now the meta here of the Korahites, the Korahites and the Korahites is the thoughts springing from and belonging to that in the consciousness, right, that Korah, the great-grandson of Lewi, signifies. Thus the Korah of this sabbatical study, 38th Torah reading and feeding here for Shabbat Korah, clear crystal, bringing out the definitions of Korah, it bespeaks of comprehension. So Korah as a name, remember we had the father who was Korah, but we had the sons of, and he was a rebel, he was bad, right? He was caught in his uckery and his iniquity, and he died for it. But now we have the sons of Korah, right? They became the choristers and the Levites and also the composers of the psalms and the chants that we have even here in the book of the Sefer Tehillim, the Mezmor Dawit, right? So the name, right? So every name, every word, it has its polarity. You know, like there's no good number and bad number. You know, like fire is basically good, but if you've had bad experiences, then you caught up in your subjective self, then you, of course, you're going to say, well, I got burnt. You understand? But that doesn't mean that fire is evil. You know what I'm saying? So it depends on how it's used in the context. So the context of Korah, from the definition of clear and crystal, it can be speak, and it speaks of comprehension. To be clear and be crystal brings out a comprehension that would and that could, right, that would and that could aid in raising, right, these the true Korah thoughts to the love and productiveness that belong to their true nature, the true nature. Now, what's interesting in the dialogue that we have, right, in number chapter like 16, right, this dialogue we have between Moshe and his cousin. Did I mention that Korah is his cousin? Right? So this is a family. So see what happens even in the family. You can see where Moshe is trying to speak, you know, and trying to raise Korah, right, from that way of thinking, that fleshy dominance under that Esau mentality. You know what I mean? To take that which is not his, you know, to a higher way of looking at it. But, you know, people are people, right? They decide. Now, we also have Korah. If you look in the King James Version of the Bible, right, there's another way of spelling Korah. Like in the KJV, they have it as C-O-R-E. I think it's mentioned in Jude. If you go to Jude, the book of Jude, it mentions Korah, right, as C-O-R-E. Some other Bibles might spell as K-O-R-E, right? We have Korah. Right, Korah. In fact, let's just bring that out here before we ride up. Yeah, we do have a song. Yeah, today's daily song. And, of course, there's reflection in the reflection, right, and projection in the projection. Let's get this right here. Where's the script? Give me one moment, brothers and sisters. Where is – okay, here we go right here. We have Jude. Just bring out the hard copy right here so we can just tie together this. Why is this important, this Korah incident? Well, it's so important that in the New Covenant, right, in the New Testament times, they actually point back to this incident, right? Here we are in Jude. Jude only is like one chapter, like it's a letter of one chapter. So it's Jude verse 11, where it says, woe to them, woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying, or the antilogia. The antilogia from the Koine Greek is being against the word. He's against the work. Remember, Jehovah Hashem had already, you know, he already stipulated what's going to be what, right? And now you have Korah making it seem like Moshe, you know, and Aaron just took this on themselves. You know what I mean? And like he was trying to hijack it. In other words, so the gainsaying, the speaking against the word, right? So here in Jude, right, this is one chapter, verse 11. It says that these are spots in your feast of charity, your feast of love. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, without any respect. Clouds, they are without water, carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And then it picks up with Enoch, Hanukkah. Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment up on all and to convince all that are ungodly, ungodlike among them of all their ungodly, ungodlike deeds that they have ungodly, ungodlike committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly, ungodlike sinners utter, spoken against him. And then it says furthermore in verse 16 of Jude, the general epistle of Jude, these are murmurers, complainers. Remember a couple of Torah readings, we had people complaining for debtors, for the food that they used to get, talking about how everything was free, you know, back in Mitzrayim. Yeah, they were high or something, I don't know. You know what I mean? But we had the murmurers and complainers and how just it starts to spiral and get worse. And now that brings us right here with Korah, right? It even affected a potential overthrow of, we could say, the priesthood, right? And of the tabernacle, right? These are murmurers, complainers, walking in their own lusts, their own desires, and their mouth speaketh. Remember, Midbar, come from Dabar, which means to speak, right? Their mouth speaketh. Where were they speaking these wayward words? In the wilderness, their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. That's how you got those 250 men. Notice, Moshe said, all right, bring your censers, your fire pans, and we're going to burn Ishans, and we'll see who is worthy. You know, who has Jehovah chosen? You know, everybody want to burn Ishans, right? But then how can we say the Ishans is holy? And then we read, according to the glory of his majesty, the holy things are set apart. And then we'd be saying that everybody should just be burning the holy things. You know what I'm saying? That's almost like what Korah was saying. It's exactly like what Korah was saying right here, here, here. So we have right here, we have Korah right here, even mentioned in Jude. Just to testify right here, brothers and sisters, looking at the time right here, going to have to touch on today's daily psalm. Yes,
I'm going to testify. I'm going to testify. What Jah has done for I said.
So we have today's daily psalm right here, here, here. We have Psalm 11. You know how we do? We like to put things into proper context. You know what I mean? Because we like to see it as ancient soy. That's why I'm touching on some key Hebrew words. Sometimes when you recognize this word actually means this in Hebrew, it kind of brings out another layer, you know, another layer to the comprehension in the text. You know, because going to the Hebrew, there's some interesting puns sometimes. But these puns are not just for joke's sake, but it's like this interesting because it brings another level, right, that just makes it clearer. you know, the right now application, what was right then and what is right now. So here, right now, we have today's daily psalm right here. And today's daily psalm, Mizmor Yod Aleh for Psalm 11, Psalm XI. It's a song of steadfastness. Now, the setting of this psalm right here is said to be similar of that of Psalm 5 and Psalm 7. It's a time of danger for the psalmist and I. And his life and I life is threatened. Friends advise him and I to seek safety in flight. But he stands his ground because he has confidence in divine protection, guidance and protection. The psalm to chant here, it seems to fit in best what is told in 1 Samuel chapter 18, and supplements the historical narrative. Now, when Saul's obsession became apparent, it is natural to suppose that David receives advice to flee, right? And we can also apply this here to even this Torah reading and feeding. I mean, check it out. It was Moshe and Aaron, and also Aaron and his two sons. Against how many? It was like 250 of them. Chan, you know, they thought to overpower because of numbers. Well, applying this here with Saul's obsession becoming apparent, that the friends of David and maybe some well-wishers perhaps told him to flee, right? But David, he remained, right? In that sense, he stood his ground, right? In the Hebrew sense, he stood his ground at the court, right? At the king's court, at Shaul's court, right? At his fellow Messiah's court, fellow Christ's court. Because remember that being anointed, both Shaul was the Lord's anointed, right? He was Moshiach. He was anointed. And David also was Moshiach. But in this context, we get kind of an Old Testament kind of principle of Antichrist versus Christ, right? In this obsession of Shaul. But David still stood his ground. He remained at the king's court until after the second attempt up on his life had failed. His wife, Isha, persuaded him to go. So his feelings, his inner thoughts and agitation, right, in that crisis are here described right here for the leader. A psalm of David. Today's daily psalm, Mizmor Yod Aleph.
Psalm 11. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain, for lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright.
And another Rhema word right here, Jehovah triumphed the righteous, Moshe and Aharon, here in this Torah reading and feeding, here the 38th Shabbat Korach, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. And then it says that upon the ratchet, he will cause the rain cold. And, you know, the judgment of those among them, you know, who sought to overthrow, you know, the rightful leadership, right, and the rightful, you say, priesthood and the order, even in the wilderness, fire and brimstone and burning wind shall be the portion of their cup. For Jehovah is righteous, He loveth righteousness, and the upright shall behold his face. It was interesting that Moshe said to them, yeah, get your chalices, you know, get your chalice, your censers and fire pan, all of y'all, and come back here tomorrow to the gate, and we'll see, you know, who Jah has, you know. And then when he got there, Jah's like, I'm going to destroy y'all. So right there, it became clear. But here, Royal Amharic here, is Likul, but it's Talua. Yes, yes, yes.
مزمور عصر بك النفاسر عند لمزمران عليك يداويت مزمور بك زيابير تامن نفسين اندوه فوده تراروش تقبز بجي اندي تلوات اللاتشو هات اتن يوچن نهوك استاچون قطروالن فلات اچونم با اوتاراز زگاش توالن لبك نوچن بسوور ينرفو زند انتي سرهون انهو نرسو عفرسوالن አድግ ምን አደረገ እግዚአብሔር በተቀደሰው መቅደሱ ነው እግዚአብሔር ሱፋኑ በሰማይ ነው አይኖቹ ወደ ደሃ ይመለከታሉ ቅንድቦቹም የሰው ልጆችን ይመረምራሉ እግዚአብሔር ጻድቅንና ኃጥን ይመረምራል አመጻን ይወደዳት ግን ነፍሱን ጠልቷል ወጥመድ በኃጥአን ላይ ያዘንባል እሳትና ዲን አውሎ ነፋስም የጽዋቸው ድል ፈንታ ነው እግዚአብሔር ጻድቅ ነውና ጽድቅንም ይወዳል ቅንነት ግን ፊቱን ታየዋለች
Psalm 11 In the Lord put I my trust How say ye to my soul Flee as a bird to your mountain For lo, the wicked bend their bow They make ready their arrow upon the string That they may privily shoot at the upright in heart If the foundations be destroyed What can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold. His eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous. But the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. Countenance of the cold.
مزمور عصر بك النفاسر عن لمزمران عليك يداويت مزمور بك زيابير تامن نفسين اندوه فوده تراروش تقبز بجي اندي تلوات اللاتشو هات اتنوچن نهوك استاچون قطروالن فلات اچونم با اوتاراز زگاش توالن لبك نوچن بسوور يندفو زن انتي سرهون انهو نرسو عفرسوالن አድግን ምን አደረገ እግዚአብሔር በተቀደሰው መቅደሱ ነው እግዚአብሔር ሱፋኑ በሰማይ ነው አይኖቹ ወደ ደሃ ይመለከታሉ ቅንድቦቹም የሰው ልጆችን ይመረምራሉ እግዚአብሔር ጻድቅንና ኃጥን ይመረምራል አመጻን ይወደዳት ግን ነፍሱን ጠልቷል ወጥመድ በኃጥአን ላይ ያዘንባል እሳትና ዲን አውሎ ነፋስም የጽዋቸው ድል ፈንታ ነው እግዚአብሔር ጻድቅ ነውና ጽድቅንም ይወዳል ቅንነት ግን ፊቱን ታየዋለች
So people still searching for this truth here which this reggae music you know bring Christ to them and the only purpose it serves is to tell the people about Rastafari.
Yes, 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 yes. So here. About to ride out with the Royal Amharic and also go through the Hebrew Midrash, Hebrew study on today's daily psalm. It's Likul, but Talua is small, but there's a lot of very interesting content. Now pay attention to the third verse, right? When the foundation destroyed, right? What can the righteous do, or what have the righteous done, right? What do the righteous do while the foundations are being destroyed? It's a very interesting reasonment that comes out of this right here. I'm going to write off the Royal Amharic first and then bring forth fuller reasonment on this, today's daily psalm, a song of steadfastness, also themed in the Metzav Kedus, the Book of the Seven Seals, the King of Kings Bible, as Tzadikan Tim Kahit. Tzadikan Tim Kahit, or the boast, right, of Jah righteous, or those who are the righteous one, the Tzadikan. So here. Today's daily psalm right here, going through a verse by verse right here. Pay attention to verse 3. We're going to bring it out in the Royal Amharic and then also follow up with more in the Midrash or the Hebrew. Here we got like three minutes, y'all. That's going to carry us over into the grace part of this podcast here. And tune in, whether call in 515-602-9761 or check it out on the Rastafari Israelites podcast live stream right there. But here, as Barhana Selassie said, another verse in Amharic, yeah?
Legashun, Agarashu, Memelech, Memelegashun, Memegashwe, Ethiopia Menosh, you know? But who want the next verse with Amharic? But who want the next verse with Amharic?
Bring forth the Bible. Bring forth the Bible. Bring forth the Bible. Bring forth the Bible. Bring forth the
Bible. Salanta, Tena is Taling. Today's daily psalm, according to the Royal Order of Ethiopian Hebrews, here from the Mezmore Dawit, from the Book of the Seven Seals of Garmawi, Karmawi, Haile Selassie, the Authorized, Revised Amharic Bible. We have Mezmore Dawit Asra'ant. We have Psalm 11. Superscription, Le Mezamrana Leka, Ye Dawit Mezmor. To the chief musician, Ye Dawit Mezmor, a psalm, a chant, a vocal intonation of Dawit, the well-beloved. Mekai and I ride up. Besama'ab, Wewalid, Wemenfes, Kedus, Ahadu, Amlak. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one source sent in Jemralen. We begin. Kuter And, verse 1. In Egeziavihar, the sustainer, the good, the generous of Tamenhu, put I my trust. Be Egeziavihar Tamenhu. Nesin, my soul, in the wafa, wode taro chateka bejbeji, in day petilu atalachu. How say y'all? How do y'all say? In day petilu atalachu? How do y'all all say to my soul, Nefsin, flee as a bird to your mountain. In the wafa, wode taro chateka bejbeji. Hinde te luatalachu, kuter hulet, verse 2. Chatiatenyo chinahu, kesatachuina, getarwalina, filatachuinim, beautara zegaja tawalina, libek inochina besura yinetfuzin, for lo, look. The wicked, the ratchet, the uckers bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may shoot privily, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. Filas achuinema bautara zegaj tawalina libek enochina besuura yinedifuzen kuter source. Verse 3. أنت يسرح وين النهو نرسوا في رسوالنا صادق جنا من درجة. If the foundations be destroyed, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now, right here, in this verse right here, we said we will share whenever there's, you know, some nuance of a difference here between the KJV and here. In this particular verse, it says, that which you readied, they demolished. But the just, what did they do? That which you readied, ante yesarahowin, that which you have worked, that which the eye, oh, gziavir, that which you have made, ante, you, male, ante, yesarahowin, that which you have readied, made, done, and that, oh, look, see here, and also, after sawalina, they have destroyed, they have demolished, sadik, the righteous, the just, tzadikin, tzadikgin. But the righteous, tzadikgin. The righteous, minadarega. Tzadikgin, minadarega. What did the righteous do? KJV has, if the foundations, the KJV has, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Here we have that which you have worked, that which you have made. Ante yisaraho win in neho. Look, see, and arusu afrasa walina sadik gin minadarega, sadik gin minadarega. What did the righteous do? What did the righteous do? Implying, what did the righteous do at the time when the ratchet was tearing down the work that he who be, we be, his divine majesty had done? Kutar arat, egziavi hera, betek edes soa mekdes, no. Egziavi hera, betek edes soa mekdesun, no. Egziavi hera, zufanu besamayno, aino chua wode dehai melekatalu. Kina debochuma, yesole jochina yimaremaralu. Egziavi hera, sustaining the good, the generous, our Father. Betek edesoa mekdesuno is in his holy, his set apart. Betek edeso mekdesu. Nau, he is in his isla, set apart temple. Egziavi hera, sustaining the good, the generous, zufanu besamaino. Xavier's throne is in the heaven. I know Chua wada dehai melekatalu, his eyes. Behold the poor. His eyes are towards the poor. I know Chu wada dehai melekatalu. They pay attention to the poor. In the debochuma yesoli jochini meremaralu. And his eyelids, they investigate his eyelids in the bochum. Yeso le chochini merem ralu. They investigate, they search out the children of humanity. Kuter amist, verse 5. Egziavi hera. Sadik na khitaina yimrem rala ametana yawaddata gina nafsuna talatual egziari herstein the good, the generous. Sadik na khitaina yimrem ral. He trieth, he investigated, he searcheth out the righteous, the sadik. Sadik na chitain yimram ral, and the wicked, and the ratchet, the wicked, the ucker, According to the Royal Amharic, the KJV says, the Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Bamarinya. The lawless, the rebellious, rebelliousness, but ones who love lawlessness, who love lawlessness, rebellion, nefsun tel to'al, his soul hateth. Kuter Siddis, verse 6. What meda bechita'an laya yazenval, isatina dina olo nefasima, yes, wacho dilla fentan. Upon the wicked, the ratchet, he shall rain sneers, fire, and brimstone, and horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. What med bechitan layas and bal is satinadin olon fasim, yes, wacho de la fentano, kuter sabat, verse 7. Egziavi heres adik noina, sit kinema you wededal, kinnet gina fituna tayoalech. For the righteous, egazia, we have a sustainer, good, generous, sadik no, for egazia, we have righteous. KJV reads, for the righteous Lord loveth righteousness, his countenance doth behold the upright. The Royal Amharic, the HSV, the Metzaf Kedus, the Book of the Seven Seals, read here at Kutera Sabat, Egzia viher tzadik nawinna. For Egzia viher is righteous. Tzidk nima yiwad dal, and he loveth righteousness. Tzidk nima yiwad dal. Kinnat again. But uprightness, straightforwardness, kinnanet, integrity, but integrity, fitun, his presence, his face, tayewalech, she will see integrity, she will see his face, his perception, kinnanet. Internet again, however, the upright, the straightforward, integrity, but integrity, she shall see his face. Internet again, fitun tayewalech.
Rastafari, King of all kings, Lord of all lords, conquering lion of the tribe of Judah, elect of himself, mighty and thunderable, exhibit massacre on Yahweh in the goose and the gods, let Jah be praised.
Babylon burning, Babylon burning. Babylon burns, they have no water. Fire, 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 fire,
fire. Here, native speaker, one time right here, today's daily psalm, before we ride up with the Hebrew right here, Abraham Chabudah, here.
መዝሙር 10 በቅንፍ 11 ለመዘምራን አለቃ የዳዊት መዝሙር። በእግዚአብሔር ታመንኩ ነፍሴን እንደ ወፍ ወደ ተራሮች ተቀበዝበዢ እንዴት ትሏታላችሁ? ኃጢአተኞች እነሆ ቀስታቸውን ገትረዋልና ፍላጻቸውንም በአውታር አዘጋጅተዋልና ልበቅኖችን በስውር ይነድፉ ዘንድ አንተ የሠራኸውን እነሆ እነርሱ አፍርሰዋልና ጻድቅ ግን ምን አደረገ? እግዚአብሔር በተቀደሰው መቅደሱ ነው፣ እግዚአብሔር ዙፋኑ በሰማይ ነው። ዓይኖቹ ወደ ድሃ ይመለከታሉ፣ ቅንድቦቹም የሰው ልጆችን ይመረምራሉ። እግዚአብሔር ጻድቅንና ኃጥን ይመረምራል፣ ዓመፃን የወደዳት ግን ነፍሱን ጠልቷል። ወጥመድ በኃጥአን ላይ ያዘንባል፣ እሳትና ዲን አውሎ ነፋስም የጽዋቸው ዕድል ፈንታ ነው። እግዚአብሔር ጻድቅ ነውና ጽድቅንም ይወዳል፣ ቅንነት ግን ፊቱን ታየዋለች።
Elect up the light of this world. Remember now, lines of King David, Ark of the Covenant, Hebrew language, and you must, little children of the world, learn the Ashanti language, learn the ancient Hebrew language, learn the Twi, learn cuneiform, hieroglyphic, New Orphic, Tamarians, learn them languages there, learn the Amharic language. You see?
You see? The English language,
the English language.
Join your mentality.
Join your mentality.
Join your mentality.
Sirach. Sirach. The prologue. King James 1611 version. The same things uttered in Hebrew and translated into another tongue have not the same force in them. Sirach, the prologue, King James 1611 version. The same
Mizmor Yud Aleph Lamnatseach Le David Vadonai Hasiti Ech Tomeru Le Nafshi נודי הרחם ציפור, כי הנה הרשעים ידרכון קשת, כוננו חיצם על יתר, לראות במו אופל לישרי לב, כי השתות יהרסון, צדיק מה פעל. אדוני בהיכל קודשו, אדוני בשמיים כסאו, עיניו יחזו, אף אפיו יבחנו בני אדם. אדוני צדיק יבחן ורשע ואוהב חמס שנאה נפשו. ימטר על רשעים פחים, אש וגופרית ורוח זלעפות מנת כוסם. כי צדיק אדוני צדקות אהב, ישר יחזו פנימו.
Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, He, Vav, Zayin, Chet, Ted, Yod, Kaf, Lamed, Mem, Nun, Samech, Ein, Pei, Tzadik, Kuf, Resh, Shin, Tav.
Mizmor, Mizmor Yod Aleph, Mizmor Yod Aleph.
La menatziach le David. Ba Yahuwah chasiti. Aik tomru le nashi. Nodu harkema zipor. Nudi harkem zipor. For the leader, a psalm of David. In Jehovah have I taken refuge. First verse, today's daily psalm, Mizmor Yod Aleph, Mizmor Yod Aleph, Psalm 11. Hear, 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 Shema Yisrael. Hear, 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 a midrash on today's daily psalm, Psalm 11. For the leader, for the overcomer, La Menatzeach, Le David of David, by Yahuwah, in Jehovah, Chasiti, Chasiti, I've taken refuge. Aik Tomru Le Nafshi,
Le Nafshi,
Le Nafshi,
Le Nafshi.
These words are to be read in the light, in the illumination of what Scripture says elsewhere. Even in Psalm 118, verse 6, Yahuwah Jehovah is for me, is for I will not fear. What can man do to me?
What can man do to me? What can
La Menatzeach Le David by Yahuwah Chasiti. For the leader of David, in Jehovah have I taken refuge. A mashal, a parable, a misale, a king, a negus, had a servant whom he befriended more than any of his other servants, so that the king's household, the negus, ha melech, the negus, even negus and the guest household, were envious of him. But the servant said, with my master befriending me, what ordinary mortal can prevail against me,
against me, against me, against me, against me?
Nodu, nudu, harkem tzipor, nudi, harkem tzipor,
tzipor,
flee, flee thou as birds to your mountain. Rav Acha taught, as the Bnei Yisrael, the sons of children of Israel, went into exile, the nations of the earth, intending also to exile Elohim, the true good, the true God, from his place, they said, let make the master as well as his disciple, may ha-rab, the Rav,
the Rav,
the rabbi, as well as his disciple, Talmudo, flee into exile. Note that the Ketiv is Nudu. Flee ye, flee y'all. Nudu, harkem tzipor. The Ketiv, what is written is Nudu. Flee ye, flee y'all. While the Kere, what is said is Nudi. Nudi, harkem tzipor. Nudi, the Kere. What is said, the Kere, is Nudi. Flee thou, flee the I. Speaking to the feminine, speaking to the soul, Linafshi, Nudi, Harkem Tzipor, flee thou. Thus the nations, the Goyim, the international community said to Elohim above, as well as to the Bnei Yisrael, the sons of Yisrael below, flee ye, flee y'all, Nudu, to Elohim above, yes, to Elohim above, yes. For Scripture says, as a bird that fleeth from her nest, so is a man that fleeth from his place, in Proverbs 27 and 6. Man here referring to HaKadosh, Baruch Hu, to the Holy One, blessed be He. As in the saying, Yahweh Jehovah is a man of war,
of war,
of war,
of
Yahweh, Ish Milchama, Yahweh Shemo. Jehovah is a man of war, Yahweh, Ish Milchama.
Milchama.
As in Exodus 15 and 13, it reads, Jehovah, Ish Milchama, Jehovah, Yahweh, is a man of war. And place. Place here referring to the holy temple.
The holy temple.
Of that, Elohim said in Psalm 132, and 14. This is my resting place forever. This is my resting place The wicked, the ratchet, ha rishaim, made ready their arrow upon the string. Konu chitam al yeter. Rav Barkayu taught in the name of Rav Abba Bar Kahana concerning this second verse in today's daily psalm. Hebraically, the wicked made ready their arrow upon the string. Ha rishaim, konu chitam al yeter. Here, ha rishaim, the wicked, the ratchet, are Shebna and Joah, who wrote a letter, inserted it into a notch in an arrow, and shot the arrow to Sennacherib through a port. In the letter they had written, Hezekiah and Isaiah, do not allow us to make peace with thee. End quote, quote, end quote. The verse, it concludes, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. Lirot b'mo ofel le yishrei leib. That is, at the two upright in heart, Hezekiah and Yeshayahu, Hezekiah and Isaiah. If the foundations be destroyed, be downstroyed, what great work, O righteous one, hast the eye wrought. Ki hashatota ye haresun, tzadik ma pa'al. If the foundations be destroyed, downstroyed, what great work, O righteous one, Hast thou the eye done? Ki hashatota yeharesun sadik mapal. Here in today's daily psalm, Psalm 11, Hebraically verse 3, if wicked men, ha rishaim, if ratchet men rise up against the righteous, the tzadiki, are to destroy them, they upon whom the foundations of thy world is laid, as is written in Proverbs 10:25, the righteous is the foundation of the world. Then, O righteous one of the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Holy One, praise be He. What great work of thine do the wicked, ha rishaim, leave thee in thy world. If wicked ratchet men rise up against the foundation stone of ha hekal of the temple, that is to say, rising up against the foundation that the world is established upon, are to destroy it, then what pleasure canst thou the eye, Sadika ha'olam, O righteous one of the world, have out of thy world and out of thy great walk. If ratchet, wicked men rise up against the foundation pits of ha'mizbeach, of the altar, that are more ancient than the great abyss, are to destroy them, then Sadiq ha'olam, O righteous one of the world, what great work hast thou the eye wrought? Yahweh behekal akadsho, Jehovah is in his holy, his Isla temple. Yahweh behekal akadsho. Here in today's daily psalm, Psalm 11, Hebraically verse 4. All during the time, the Iowa, that the holy temple stood. The presence dwelt within it. But after the sins, the uckery of Israel had brought it about that the holy temple was destroyed, downstroyed. Elohim, the true good, the true God, the true Trinity is the Hebrew Trinity, removed his presence into Shemaim, the heavens. For the verse concludes, Yahweh, Jehovah, his throne is in heaven. Heaven, heaven. Yahweh, Bashamayim, Kiso. Rav Eliezer ben Pedat maintained, however, that regardless of whether the holy temple is destroyed, downstroyed, or is not destroyed, not downstroyed, the presence, the face, the perception has not departed from the sight. For it is said, Yahuwah, Yahuwah, Behekal Kadisho, Jehovah is in his holy temple. Even though his throne is in heaven, Bashamayim Kiso, yet his presence, his perception continues in Hahekal, in the temple. For he said in 1 Kings 9 and 3, mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. Perpetually. So too scripture says in Psalm 3, verse 5, he answereth me out of his holy mountain perpetually. Even though the mountain be now bare, its holiness, kedusha, its islandness endures. Rav Eliezer ben Pedat went on to say, mark what Cyrus, what Koresh, mark what Cyrus declared, what he declared in Ezra 1 and 3. Whosoever there is among you of all Amo, his people, let him make him go up, aliyah, up to Yerushalayim, Jerusalem, that is in Yehuda, in Judah, and build the house, the bait of Yahuwah, of Jehovah, Elohe Yisrael, the Elohim of Yisrael, of Israel. He is the Elohim, the true good, the true God, who is in Yerushalayim, in Jerusalem. That is, he is Ha Elohim, the true good, the true God, who did not depart from Yerushalayim, Jerusalem. Even after the holy temple, the Isle Temple, was destroyed, was downstroyed, Rav Simon taught, mark that in the verse that reads, for now shalt thou go forth out of the city, and shalt dwell, shakant, in the field, in Micah 4 and 10. The Ketiv, what is written is Shekinati, meaning my presence, my face, my perception. Shekinati shall dwell, Shekinati. Here, field. Field refers to the field in that the holy temple stood, as is evidenced from Yitzhak, Isaac's saying, quote, see, the smell of Beni, my son, is as the smell of the field that Yahuwah, that Jehovah, hath blessed. According to Bereishis, Genesis 27:27, Rav Acha declared, the presence will never depart from the western wall. For it is said in Song of Songs 2 and 9, behold, he standeth behind our wall. Rav Yanai taught, once a mortal Melech, a mortal king, a mortal Negus, enters his reception room, he cannot see what is done in his sleeping chamber. Not so, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not so, the Holy One, blessed be he, for it is said, even in today's daily psalm here, Psalm 11, verse 4, Yahuwah b'hekala kadisho, Yahuwah b'shamayim kiso, aynayo yechezu, afapayo yivachenu b'nei adam. Jehovah is in his holy temple. Jehovah, his throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men, the Bnei Adam, the children of Adam. The glory of Elohim, both on earth, the earthly plane, and in the Shemaim, the place of the celestial waters in heaven, watches and considers every mortal, though no eye has the power to see him. Yahweh Tzadik Yivchan, Jehovah trieth the righteous. Yahweh Tzadik Yivchan, whom does Elohim try? The righteous, the Tzadik, who stand firm under the trials he imposes. A parable, a mashal, a misale of a farmer who has many heifers. Which heifer does the farmer try out? By setting the yoke upon its neck for plowing? Clearly the heifer with a stout neck and great strength is the one to plow. Why does not Elohim, the true good, the true God, try the wicked, try the ratchet? Why doesn't Elohim, the true good, the true God, try the wicked? Rav Jose said, because the wicked, ha-rishayim, the ratchet, cannot stand firm under his trying of them. Rav Jose bar Rav Hanina taught, when flax is stiff, the flax worker does not beat it vigorously because it might break. But when the flax is soft, he beats it vigorously because it improves thereby. Even so, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He, does not try HaRishayim, the ratchet, the wicked, because they will break out in reviling of Elohim, Bashamayim, Elohim in heaven. As is said in Isaiah 57 and 20, the wicked, the ratchet, are like the troubled sea, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. But whom does Elohim, the true good, the true God, try? Ha Tzadik, the Tzadikim, the righteous. Yahuwah Tzadik Yivachan, we Rasha, we Oheva Hamas Sana'ah Nafsho. Jehovah trieth the righteous, Yahuwah Tzadik Yivachan. But the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul, his psyche, hateth. With Rasha, with Oheba, Hamas, Sana'ah Nafsho. The wicked, the ratchet is Ishmael. And him that loveth violence is Esau. The wicked, Rasha, is Ishmael. And Oheb Hamas, him that loveth violence is Esau. Of whom Elohim said in Malachi 1 and 3, but Esau, I hated. Yamtir al Rishaim Pachin. Upon the wicked he shall rain Pachin.
The question here is, what is Pachim? Pachim. What is Pachim? Here. Hata, fire, coals of fire. Yes, all right. Just one more part right here, brothers and sisters, here for this 11.
The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the inequities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men.
Yamtir al rishaim pachim 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 pachim. Upon the wicked he shall rain pachim 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 pachim. Yamtir al rishaim pachim. Upon the wicked he shall rain pachim. Yamtir al rishaim pachim. Upon the ratchet he shall rain pachim. Hear, hear, hear today's daily psalm, Psalm 11, Hebraically verse 6. That is, quick burning coals, pachim. Quick living, lively burning coals. As in the phrase from Proverbs 26:21, as quick burning coals, pecham, are to live coals, and wood to fire. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He, said, whoever exalts himself in pride will finally be punished in fire, as were the people of the generation of the flood. For it is said in Job 6 and 17, what time they are cut off, they vanish. In the fire thereof, they are consumed out of their place. So too, the people of the Tower of Babel were punished in fire. For it is said in Job 22 and 20, and their abundance, the fire hath consumed, hath eaten up. And so too were the people of Sodom. For it is said in Bereshith in Genesis 19:24, then Jehovah rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire. And so too was Pharaoh. For it is said in Exodus 9:24, so there was hail and fire flashing up, very grievous, such as had not been in all the land of Mitzrayim, in all the land of Egypt, in all the land of Kemet, if you please. And so too was Sennacherib, for it is said, even in Yeshayahu, Isaiah 10 and 16, and under his magnificence, he shall kindle a burning like the burning of a fire. The phrase, under his magnificence, shows that Elohim, the true God, consumes Sennacherib with fire from within, but left the magnificence of his outer apparel unburnt, because Sennacherib belonged to the family of Shem, as it is said in Bereshith in Genesis 10:22, the sons of Shem, Elam and Ashur, and so too was Sisera, for it is said in Judges 5:20, they fought from Shemaim, from heaven. The stars that are fire fought in their path against Sisera. And so too was Nebuchadnezzar. For it is said in Daniel 3:22, the flame of fire slew these men. And so too was Edom. For it is said in Daniel 7:11, the beast was given to be burnt with fire. And so too was Gog and Magog. For it is said in Ezekiel 39:6, and I will send a fire on Magog. And so too the other heathen, Goyim, nations. For it is said in Isaiah 66:16, for in the fire will Yahuwah Jehovah punish all flesh. And so too was Hiram, for It is said in Ezekiel 28 and 18, therefore have I brought forth a fire from the midst of thee, of the eye. Another comment upon Yamtir al-Risha'im, Pachim, upon the ratchet, the wicked, he shall reign Pachim. Psalm, today's daily Psalm 11 and 6, that is, quote, sneers, end quote. As in the phrase in Proverbs, Mashal, Proverbs 7:23, as a bird hasteneth to the sneer, as a bird hasteneth to the pach, the sneer. Upon the wicked he will rain quick burning coals, fire and brimstone, and tempests and flames. Yamtir al rishaim pachim eishawe gafrita we ruacha zil afota menata kosam. In this verse are enumerated the seven pyres of Gehenna, quick burning coals, 2, fire and brimstone, 2, tempest, 1, and flames, 2. Behold, hear the seven pyres of Gehenna. Yamtir al rishaim pachim, eish with gafrit with ruach zil afot, fire and brimstone, eish with gafrit. This shall be the portion of their cup. Menat kosam. Rav Yudan said, whenever a man smells brimstone, his soul, nafsho, she is distraught. For hanefesh, the soul, she knows that she will be punished in brimstone. As is said in Jeremiah, Ermias 18 and 17, I will distract them with an east wind. Menat kosam, the portion of their cup. Menat kosam. Hakadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He, will give the nations, the goyim, the international community, the nations of the earth, of the earthly plane, 4 cups of punishment to drink. According to Psalm 75 and 9, for in the hand of Yahuwah, of Jehovah, there is a kos, a cup, with foaming wine. The dregs thereof, all the wicked, the ratchet of the earth shall drink. Babylon hath been a golden cup in Yahuwah, in Jehovah's yard, in Jehovah's hand, that made all the earth drunken, according to Jeremiah, Ermias 51 and 7. According to Jeremiah 25 and 15, it reads, take this kos, take this cup of the wine of fury, and cause all the goyim, all the nations, the international community, to drink it. And in today's daily psalm here, Psalm 11, verse 6, with ruach zil afot menat kosam, burning tempest shall be the portion of their cup. But Elohim will give the Bnei Yisrael, the sons of Yisrael, the sons of Israel, 4 cups, 4 chalices of deliverance, deliverance to drink. Psalm 16 and 5 reads, Yahuwah Jehovah is the portion of my cup, of I chalice. My cup, my chalice runneth over, Psalm 23 and 5. And I will lift up the chalice, the cup of deliverances, deliverances, victories, Psalm 116 and 13. This verse does not say, quote, deliverance, end quote, but deliverances, thus implying 2 cup, 2 cup, 2 cup, 2 cup, 2 cup. Ki etzadik Yahweh. For the righteous Jehovah loveth a man of righteousness. Ki yatzadik Yahweh tzedakota ahev. For the righteous, he who be Yahweh Jehovah loveth a man of righteousness. Here, Today's daily psalm, Psalm 11, here at verse 7. Rav, Yehuda, Judah, the son of Rav, Simon, said, every craftsman hates the rivals in his craft. Not so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not so the Holy One, blessed be he. The righteous Jehovah loveth a man of righteousness. Ki tzadik yahowah tzedakota aheb, 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 aheb. What is meant by the end of the verse? Yashar yechezu fanim, fanim, fanim. What is meant by the end of the verse? The upright shall behold his face. Yashar yechezu fanemo, fanemo, fanemo. It means that in the Olam Haba, in the time that I were to come, seven companies will attend HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He. And which company is to be the foremost of these? The one beholding the face of the presence. The company of the upright. For it is said, the upright shall behold his face. Yashar yechezu fanemo. Actually, the verse does not say panau, panau, his face, but panemo. Actually, the verse does not say fanau, fanau, fanayo, fanau, his face, but fanemo, their faces. That is, the upright will behold the face of the presence and the faces of his household, who, in the verse in Psalm 140 and 14, the upright shall dwell in thy, the eye presence, in the eye face, in the eye perception, are likewise termed the upright. Another comment, rendered literally, the verse reads, as for the upright one, they shall behold each other's faces. Yashar yechezu fanemo. As for the upright one, they shall behold each other's faces. One should have expected the verse to say, quote, the upright ones shall behold each other's faces, end quote, or, quote, the upright one shall behold the face of each of them, end quote. What then is the meaning of the verse, as for the upright one, they shall behold each other's faces? Yashar yechezu fanemo. The upright ones shall behold the face of the upright one of the world. Yashar ha-olam. And the upright one of the world, Yashar ha-olam, shall behold the faces of the upright ones. For the upright, upright is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, the Isle One, blessed be He, of whom it is said in Devarim, Deuteronomy 32 and 4, He is just and the upright, and the upright, and the upright, and the upright. Another exposition, another exposition, another exposition. If the verse is read, as for the upright, their faces shall shine. Yashar yechezu fanemo. It means that the faces of the upright will become shining orbs in Shemaim, Shemaimah, in the heavens, giving light to the earth, the earthly plane. It is the seven companies of the upright who will give light to the world. Their faces shining like the sun, like the moon, like the firmament, like the stars, like the lightnings, like Shoshanim, lilies, and like Lapidim, torches. Like the sun, for it is said, even in Judges 5:31, but they that love him shall be as the sun when he goeth forth in his might. Like the moon, for it is said in Psalm 89:37-38, his seed shall be established forever as the moon. Like the firmament, for it is said in Daniel and Daniel 12:3, and they that are wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. Like the stars, for it is said, and they that turn the many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever, for ever and ever. Like the lightnings, for It is said in Nahum, in Nahum 2 and 5, they run to and fro like the lightnings, like Shoshanim, the lilies. For it is said, for the leader, Lamanatseyach al Shoshanim, upon Shoshanim, in Psalm 45 and 1, like Lapidim, like torches. For it is said in Nahum 2 and 5, the appearance of them is like Lapidim, like torches. The first company of the upright will dwell in the presence of HaMelech, the king, even Negus Neges, the king of kings, and behold the face of HaMelech, the Negus. For it is said in Psalm 140, 14, the upright shall dwell in thy presence, thy face, thy perception. And also in today's daily Psalm, Psalm 11, here in verse 7, Yashar Yechezu Fanemo, the upright shall dwell in thy presence. The upright shall behold his face. The second company will dwell in the bait of HaMelech, of the Negus, even Negus and Neges, of the king, even the king of kings. For it is said in Psalm 84 and 5, happy are they that dwell in thy house, in Beitika. The third company will ascend the mountain to meet HaMelech, the Negus, even Negus and Neges. For it is said in Psalm 24 and 3, who shall ascend into the mountain of Yahuwah, of Jehovah? The fourth company will dwell in the court of HaMelech, of the Negus, even Negus and Neges. For it is said, happy is the man whom thou, the eye, choosest, and bringest near, that he may dwell in thy courts, in Psalm 65 and 5. The fifth company will sojourn in the tent of HaMelech, the king, the Negus, even Negus and Neges. For it is said in Psalm 15, verse 1, Yahweh, Jehovah, who shall sojourn in thy tent? The sixth company will dwell upon the holy mountain of HaMelech, of the king, the Negus, even Negus and Neges. For it is said in Psalm 15, verse 1, who shall dwell upon thy holy mountain? The seventh company will stand in the holy place, the set-apart place of HaMelech, of the king, of the Negus, even Negus and Neges. For it is said in Psalm 24 and 3, who shall stand in his holy place? Who shall stand in his Isla place? Thus, like this, each company shall have a dwelling place of its own, in the Gan Ba'Aden, in the Ganeta Aden, the Garden of Aden, the Garden of Delights. Over against the righteous, the ratchet shall have seven habitations in Gehenna, namely Sheol, the netherworld, the anti-repatriation state, Abaddon, destruction, Salmavet, the shadow of Mavet, the shadow of death, Eretz Tachtita, the underworld, Eretz Neshia, the realm of forgetfulness, Gachinom, and Duma, the realm of silence. Rav Lewi, Levi said, Duma. Duma is also called Chazar Mavet. Why is it called Chazar Mavet? Because it is a court, Chatzir, the Chatzir, for the spirits of the dead, the Mawet, the Mot, the Mavet. Although it looks like a building, it is in fact a courtyard encircled by a wall. In front of the courtyard runs a brook, and beyond the brook lies an open field. And every day at twilight, Duma lets the spirits out and they eat in the open field and drink at the brook. Thus, like this, when a mortal drinks water at twilight, he is robbing his dead kinsmen. Why is the guardian of the spirits called Duma? Because he guards Domemot, the silent, Domemot, the silent, who eat but do not speak. Even when they drink, the sound of their drinking is not heard. How does the spirit, the ruach, differ from ha-nefesh, the soul? The soul has the semblance of a butterfly. It is attached to a man's spine by a chain tied to its foot. When a man sleeps, his soul, nafsho, goes abroad and roams about on the earth, on the earthly plane. Hence come the dreams that a man sees. And so too, when a man is asleep, though he be called many times, enough times, he does not answer. But when he is touched, he answers forthwith. And when the time, the Iwa, comes for a man to depart from the Olam, the world, the angel of death enters to take up nafsho, his soul, his psyche. Hanefesh, the soul, has the semblance of a kind of reed filled with blood, with smaller reeds distributed through the entire body. Ha-melach, the angel, lays hold of the upper part of the reed and pulls it, but pulls it gently out of the body of the tzaddik, the righteous man, as though taking a hair out of milk. But out of the body of the rasha, the ratchet man, the wicked man, it is as though he was pulling tangled rope through a narrow opening. Some say it is like working a nail out of the gullet. Some say it is like pulling thorns out of fleece, or a crooked stick out of silk floss. Some say it is like pulling wool shearings out of thorns. Once HaMelach, the angel, draws HaNefesh, the soul, the psyche, out of a man's body, the man dies right away. But Rucho, his spirit, comes out and sits on the tip of the nose until the body begins to decay. As decay sets in, the spirit, the ruach, weeping, cries out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He, saying, Ribon Shel Olamin, Master of the Universe, the Iniverse, whither, where am I to be taken? Immediately, Duma takes the spirit and carries it to the courtyard of the dead to join the other ruchot, spirits. If the man was a tzaddik, a righteous, the words, quote, clear a place for clay clay, gele gele, such and such, a tzaddik, a righteous man, are spoken before him, and he passes from dwelling place to dwelling place until he beholds the face of the presence. Therefore, it is said, Yashar Yechezu Fanim, the upright shall behold his face. In today's daily psalm, Psalm 11, here at verse 7. Behold, there are seven habitations for HaTzadik, the righteous, and seven habitations for HaRasha, the ratchet. For the ratchet, according to their works, and for the righteous, according to their works. Yashar Yechezu Fanemo, the upright shall behold his face. The sages say that during a time of religious spiritual persecution, a decree was issued for the hanging of Hosea ben Yoezer. Yakum of Sererot, the nephew of Hosea ben Yoezer of Sereda, rode by on a horse as Hosea ben Yoezer, bearing the beam of the gallows, was going forth to be hanged, to be lynched. Jakum said, "Look at the horse that my master gives me to ride, and look at the horse that thy master gives thee I to ride." Hosea ben Joezer replied, "If so much is given to such as thee who provoke him, how much more shall be given to those who obey his will?" Jakum answered, "Has any man been more obedient to the will of Elohim than thou, the I?" Hosea ben Yoezer replied, quote, "If so much is done to those who are obedient to his will, how much more shall be done to those who provoke him?" This answer went into Jakum, like the venom of a snake. He went away and imposed upon himself the four death penalties of stoning, burning, beheading, and strangulation. How did he do it? He got a beam and drove it into the ground. To the beam, he firmly tied a rope. He placed sticks of wood in a row and built a wall of stones over them. Then he piled up fuel in front of the beam and put a sword pointed upward in the midst of the fuel. After lighting a fire under the sticks of wood beneath the stones, he hanged himself from the beam and thus strangled himself. The rope broke, and he fell into the fire. The sword met him, and the wall of stones tumbled upon him. The soul of Jakum departed, and because of his repentance, his teshuvah, he was received. Hosea ben Yoezer, in the drowse of death, spied Yakum's bier flying through space and said, quote, see y'all, this man by a brief hour precedes me into the Gan Eden, into the Garden of Eden, the Ganeta Eden, the Garden of Delight. Ki es adik Yahuwah tzedakota ahev yashar yechezu fanemo.